Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and my next guest wants to upend a lot of the conventional thinking about eating habits for children, especially babies and toddlers. For instance, think twice about ordering your child to clean his plate, she says, because it might lead to a lifetime of overeating. Claire Lerner is the director of parenting resources at 0-3, a nonprofit focusing on child development. And she co-wrote a booklet called Healthy from the Start that suggests parents should encourage their children to become attuned to their body's messages and avoid strict rules about eating. Some of these tips recently appeared in Newsweek. Claire, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks for having me.
So some of the main ideas in the booklet that might contradict what happens in many homes: don't force food on children, don't use food as a reward, let them get up from the table when they're done, let them snack when they're hungry. Does something tie all these together?
Well, the research really ties it all together, and I think specifically on how much more we know about how young children thrive and develop in the early years, and that they're not, you know, the blobs that people thought they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago, where you just kind of imprinted on them what you thought was best for them, but that they're active participants in life, including knowing when they're hungry or full and having preferences and having, you know, very individual needs for nutrition in order to be healthy. So the fact that there's not a one-size-fits-all approach means that we really need to understand what children are telling us and how to respond to those signals in order to help them become healthy eaters.
So, you know what the skeptics are thinking right now? Is this child-centered meal planning? So if a child doesn't want to eat any vegetables, we don't want to challenge their self-esteem by saying, you have to eat vegetables?
Well, I think, you know, yes, people are definitely saying that, but it's really like everything in child development, there's a lot of nuances, and it's really a balance between understanding what your child needs to thrive nutritionally and how you approach their individual, you know, way of dealing with food. So we do know from the research that forcing doesn't work. So it's simply a rational decision not to force.
When you say forcing, what do you mean? I mean, I'm thinking foie gras here. And
forcing meaning, for example, a very typical scenario. You have, you know, a 9 or 10 month old baby, and you know you're feeding them their peas, and they take a few bites, and then they start pushing away the spoon, they start mashing the peas on the high chair, they maybe start throwing them on the ground, and you know the signal may mean I'm done.
I don't know if a parent yet has ever figured out how to get the peas into the kid's mouth at that point.
Well, okay, so let's even substitute it. Let's say it's peaches, and the parent now is feeling anxious. Oh my gosh, he's only had 2 bitefuls. He has to still be hungry. And so even though the child may keep pushing the spoon away or signaling, I'm full, I'm done with this, the parent persists and continues to, you know, find all sorts of ways to get the food into the baby's mouth. And the problem with that is that what we do know about healthy development is that children who know how to regulate their own needs, you know, when they need to sleep, when they're hungry, when they're full, are much healthier and much better self-caretakers into adulthood. So that if a child is signaling, I'm done, but a parent continues to feed them, the message to the child is, ignore it, don't trust your instincts. You may feel you're full, but, you know, the person caring for you thinks you still need to be eating.
So you think that eating is such an important learning experience, not only about food, that children are being taught not to trust their instincts in some more generalized way if they're taught not to trust their sense of when they're full?
Absolutely, which is why we wrote the booklet, because feeding is really just one of those scenarios that helps children develop skills way beyond even learning to be good, healthy eaters.
Listeners, we don't have much time on this segment because we went a little long with global warming, But we can take a few phone calls for Claire Lerner. If you call right now, Claire Lerner, Director of Parenting Resources at 0-3, a not-for-profit group focusing on child development. And she wrote the booklet, she co-wrote it, called Healthy from the Start, that suggests parents should encourage their children to become attuned to their body's messages and avoid strict rules about eating from 0-3. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And here's Stephen in Greenpoint, who called in without me even asking. Hi, Stephen. Stephen, are you? Oh, let me try again. Nope, Stephen went away. How about Paul in Milford? Are you there?
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Morning.
I have a 3-year-old going on 4 and an infant or toddler now. And we do what you say. We don't force him to eat. We let him snack. We understand that he knows best for himself. But his choice in foods is really a challenge because he will eat things that he's comfortable with, things snacky foods, he calls them. And trying to get him to eat a more diverse palette of food is a real challenge.
Well, there's the challenge, Claire. What do you do with a kid who only wants to eat pizza and chips?
Well, you can't only let them eat pizza and chips. So what tends to work the best is to try and group foods that they like or tastes that they like with healthier alternatives. So, for example, a lot of kids will eat vegetables if there's some kind of dip or sauce or something that gives it a flavor that's more pleasurable to them. So you might, you know, trying hummus or yogurt or other kinds of, you know, dressings that are helpful, but that will give them more of the nutrients and help them feel more comfortable trying new foods. The other thing that's really, really important, and this is very robust research that shows that it actually takes up to 10 to 15 times for a child to be introduced to a new food before they will actually try it. So it's really important that parents not give up once they offer a healthy food, that you have to keep introducing it, because just as, you know, children are changing, their tastes and preferences are changing, and especially children who are uncomfortable with the unfamiliar, part of it is just familiarizing them with new foods.
That's a great point about the context of the food. So the plain boiled broccoli may not go in, but if you do something to add something to it, then maybe you're going to get there. Martine in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Martine.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I realize that your guest really specializes in young children 0-3, but my question is about my 16-year-old teen, my teenage girl. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on encouraging that age group, because it is tricky, as one can imagine.
So, Claire Lerner, your group is called 0-3. How much do you think these guidelines apply beyond 3?
The truth is, I think that they apply in many ways. So while, you know, portion sizes may not apply, the approach does apply, and I think especially with teenagers, and I have a 16-year-old myself, so I'm right there with you, and I think that what's important to pay attention to is how to engage your child in a way that makes her internally motivated to want to eat better. And so the same rules apply. Forcing and negotiating, especially with a teenager, it's really like dealing with a toddler once again. The dynamics are very, very similar, and they're very similar in terms of their, you know, desire for independence and not wanting to be told what to do. So what I would do and what I do with my own teenagers is really appeal to the part, to the join with them where they're at. So I, you know, if they want to be a good athlete or feel more energetic or, you know, whatever it is that your daughter desires for herself and connect it to healthier eating, that can often be a way to make it make sense to her, because that's the key. It has to be meaningful and make sense to her, not to you.
Sarah in Cortona, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Yes, hi. I was just responding to the initial answer that your guest had given with regard to the child saying they didn't want any more peas because they were full. And I have older children who are, you know, 5 and 7. And for us, it's more an issue that they want to have dessert or something sweet. And I subsequently end up having to force them to have the nutritious whatever it is that I'm serving first. So it becomes like a constant manipulating, situation.
Right. We know that full children have a separate stomach for ice cream.
Well, this is a great question because there's such a great answer.
And we're going to run out of time in a minute here.
Okay.
So what is
Here's the deal. There's a lot of research by someone named Ellen Satter that shows very clearly that if you offer your child a complete meal, including the dessert, so you have the meat and the vegetables and a fruit and one or two cookies, and you do not make the sweet the special, special treat that gets imbued with all of this special meaning that they have to earn.
You don't say the only path to this cookie is through this spinach?
Exactly. And while the kids may, for the first few days, start with the cookie, once they get, once they understand that this is the entire meal and that's it, they eventually end
up eating.
But
that's complicated, and we just have 15 seconds left because you also then say don't force them to finish what's on their plate.
Right, but see, here's the deal. Kids know when they're hungry. So let's say they eat the two cookies. They say, I'm done. You say, okay, here's the rest of your meal. When you're hungry again, here it is. You just let me know and we'll go get it.
That's the next thing. That's the next thing you will eat.
They get hungry, they'll eat.
Claire Lerner from Zero to Three, co-author of Healthy from the Start. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.